The Great Evangelical Disaster, Francis Schaeffer, Crossway, 1984, 192 pages. About the author, Francis Schaeffer was one of the most influential Christian apologists in Western history. He emphasized the importance of worldview thinking from a Christian perspective. Schaeffer called evangelicals to rigorous philosophical and theological thinking, as well as social and cultural engagement. Table of Contents. 1. What really matters. 2. Marking the watershed. 3. The practice of truth. 4. Connotations and compromise. 5. Forms of the world spirit. 6. The Great Evangelical Disaster. 7. Radicals for Truth. 8. The Mark of the Christian. Summary, Chapter 1. What really matters. The most radical and deadly change in the last 60 years has been the embracing of an absolute individual autonomy and freedom. This was not a freedom from injustice, but the attempt to gain freedom from all limitations whatsoever. Such an attempt to find complete autonomy is rebellion against God and leads to chaos in society. True freedom for individuals and society was embedded in the principles of the Reformation, and it cannot exist apart from a biblical worldview. If biblical freedom is not recovered, anarchy will be staved off only by an elite that forces people into the order that they wish to impose upon society. As Christians, we should understand that we are engaged in spiritual warfare with the powers of darkness, but this battle takes place in human history and culture. We need to put on the whole armor of God, stand fast, and pray in the Spirit. The only weapon in our armor is the Word of God, and everything must be brought into conformity with its teaching. Paul taught that people know the truth, but suppress it in unrighteousness. As a result, even intelligent people are fools because they reject the truth of God. Without the knowledge of God put into practice, culture will be lost. In the Western world, the truth of God, biblical doctrines, and Christian values have all been rejected to the point where society is now post-Christian. As in Romans 1, rejecting God and suppressing God's truth leads to every manifestation of evil. One of the reasons why the church has been so impotent is that many did not stand with Machen against theological liberalism, and robust orthodoxy and confidence in the Scripture were undermined. We need to proclaim the truth and put the truth into practice. There can be no compromise with the spirit of this age or with critical methods of Bible study which oppose the truth of God's Word. People all around us are lost and hurting. The most important thing is to love God with all that we are and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We must demonstrably place ourselves under the lordship of Jesus Christ to show the world their need of Him. Chapter 2. Marking the Watershed. At a watershed, drops of water that start just as a small distance apart can end up separated by thousands of miles, washing into different oceans. Today, the watershed issue in evangelicalism is the full authority and inerrancy of Scripture. If someone compromises on the full authority of Scripture, they will end up far away from orthodoxy and orthopraxy. Until recently, it was assumed that Christians did not believe that the Bible contains errors. This is the view of church history as well as Scripture's own view of itself. Unless the Bible is inerrant, there is no foundation for believing its teachings concerning history, science, morality, or salvation. Christianity sees God as the ultimate reality, and human freedom finds its form in conformity to the will and law of God. When the church compromises on the absolute truths of God, there is no alternative to relativism. It is a massive error to think that we can preserve God's truth by saying the Bible is inerrant when it speaks about God and salvation, but it can err when it addresses other subjects. God has not given us an existential revelation where claims about history and science are irrelevant. He has spoken in propositions which are either true or false. Theological liberalism privileged subjective feelings over objective truth, and many evangelicals are gravitating towards that position. When this happens, authority is lost, and with it the knowledge of God as revealed in Scripture. Relativism and existential responses are dominating society, and subjectivism is eclipsing the evangelical doctrine of God's objective, absolute truth. Rather than judging culture by the Bible, we are warping our interpretation of the latter to fit the former. When church leaders overturn the words of Scripture on the basis that Scripture was accommodated to outmoded ancient cultures, those leaders actually deny the authority of God's Word. Today, many in the church are redefining inerrancy and infallibility so that they can subscribe to statements of faith while denying the historic meanings of the terms or limiting their scope and application. It is how we live out the truth of Scripture that reveals whether we actually believe it. The dominant mood in society is hedonistic, and when people live for pleasure, they interpret the Bible to justify whatever they want in the name of happiness. Evangelicalism must have a separation between those who hold to the full authority of Scripture and those who do not. Truth confronts error, and so Christians must lovingly confront the world with the truth of God. Chapter 3. The Practice of Truth. As the doctrine of Scripture is being eroded and rejected, it will take courage for Christians to publicly stand up and draw a line between those who accept the full authority of Scripture and those who do not. A high view of Scripture and high ethical standards go together. We are not legalistic, but the holiness of God and the holiness that we are called to in our lives cannot be domesticated by an appeal to love. The Church of Jesus Christ is called to simultaneously uphold the purity of the church while demonstrating deep love for all the believers. Evangelicals must not capitulate to higher criticism or neo-orthodoxy. We must maintain the historicity of the accounts of Jesus Christ and defend the creedal doctrines of the faith. When a line has to be drawn, it is easy to be arrogant, angry, and hard-hearted. But it is also easy to go with the flow of pluralism and be overly tolerant. There are many secondary issues which divide the church into denominations, but the primary things which unite us are of much greater importance. One of the problems with failing to draw a line and leave a denomination that is compromising on core truths is that the line keeps getting pushed back further and further until the person who stayed is embedded in a false church. Since God's truth is absolute truth, those in our denominations who reject it should be put under discipline. No one in the world will take our claim seriously if we do not practice what our faith teaches. It is essential that we continue to proclaim the content of the faith while displaying love even for those who treat us disdainfully. Our theological principle is not separation, but purity and discipline. In many denominations, it is impossible to discipline someone for theological heresy, but conservatives and the Orthodox are being pushed out. When we look at the controversies in the time of Machen between the fundamentalists and the liberals, we can see parallels with today and learn some valuable lessons. We must keep secularism and humanism out of our theology and practice. While we maintain an attitude of love, we must not allow liberals to occupy ministry positions in our churches or schools. The world is lost and headed towards judgment. What they need is the truth of God and a steadfast proclamation of the gospel. Chapter 4. Connotations and Compromise. In the historic controversies between the liberals and the fundamentalists, Machen and others proposed the term fundamentals to refer to the core doctrines that were in dispute. They were not trying to start a group labeled with an ism, i.e. fundamentalism. What they wanted was recognition that some doctrines are fundamental to the faith. Today, the term fundamentalist carries a different and very negative connotation. The term Bible-believing Christian captures what fundamentalism was originally about. In contrast to fundamentalists, evangelicals held to the fundamentals, but also engaged in political and social action. They held to the full truth of the Bible, but also opposed the problems generated by false worldviews. Despite how devastating accommodation is to theology and culture, evangelicals have drifted more and more into it. We have not balanced truth and love, and relativism has often taken root. Too many evangelicals have been content to have their own private religious beliefs and ethical opinions and have allowed for pluralism and relativism in the public square. There has been a pietism that has privatized evangelical spirituality. Since an evangelical is someone who is faithful to obey the Bible, those who compromise are not genuine evangelicals. We need to recognize that there is a total antithesis between secularism and Christianity. If we remove the biblical teaching on the nature of human life, human beings no longer have dignity or rights. If we are not willing to take a stand for the sanctity of human life, where will we ever draw the line? Chapter 5. Forms of the World Spirit. It is always comfortable for us to accommodate ourselves to the spirit of the age that we live in. Currently, one of the spirits that evangelicals are facing today is the spirit of socialism. There are many evangelicals who are targeting capitalism as a problem and are calling for the redistribution of wealth as the panacea to fix the ills of the world. Marxism will not solve the problem of sin. In fact, Marxism is a manifestation of it and has resulted in incalculable damage and bloodshed. Socialists call for justice and compassion, but their solutions are antithetical to the Bible's definition of those principles. Rather than give in to socialism, evangelicals need to lovingly draw a line in the sand. Believers are to use their wealth generously and wisely, but socialism is antithetical to scriptural principles. Although every era of history reveals the church making mistakes of various kinds, we must not devalue the historical contribution of the church to the good of society and the world. We must oppose those who confuse the church with the nation, but we must also resist denying the political and social good the church has done in our country. In academia, the pressure to conform and accommodate is immense, and Christian scholars and professors must take special care. The World Council of Churches must be recognized as opposing Orthodox Christianity, and evangelicals must disassociate with it so that they are not allowing a false prophet to speak for them. As we love our neighbor as ourselves, we must love them in this present moment and historic location. We must work for good without falling prey to the mistaken idea that we can create a utopia on earth. In this world of violence, pacifism is not an option. The church must also take a strong stand against the secular spirit in the areas of sex, sexuality, and gender roles. Rather than capitulate to a radical feminist agenda, the church must teach the God-given, beautiful complementarity of men and women. The covenant of marriage between a man and a woman is the only place for legitimate sexual relations, and this needs to be upheld without compromise. If we compromise in the area of marriage and sexual relations, we lose the purity of the analogy of Christ and the church. Chapter 6. The Great Evangelical Disaster. Over the past decades, the mindset of evangelicals has been one of accommodation, and the number of issues on which they will make accommodation has expanded and expanded. Despite this accommodation resulting in theological and moral disaster, evangelicals persist in this strategy. If this does not change, if the Bible is not applied to every area of life, the future will bring greater disasters than we are currently experiencing. For the evangelical accommodation to the world of our age represents the removal of the last barrier against the breakdown of our culture. When our culture breaks down, there will be an authoritarian force which rises up to impose order again. We need to call this spirit of accommodation and the fruit that it brings by its proper name, worldliness. We must continue to hope and pray, but we need to acknowledge with tears that evangelicalism has become very worldly. In an era like ours, we need confrontation that maintains both holiness and love. If we do not draw the right lines at the proper time, we will be caught up in a downward spiral where one accommodation leads to another, which leads to another, etc. Chapter 7. Radicals for Truth. Today, we need an evangelical revolution based on the now radical idea that the Bible is absolutely true and is to be believed in full. There needs to be a radical rejection of accommodation, syncretism, and relativism, even when such things creep into evangelical terminology. It has been a disaster that evangelicals have adopted the spirit of accommodation as their default setting. As a result, we have been blown around by every changing wind. There is no balance in contemporary evangelicalism, and the movement is always towards accommodation and compromise. Our church, culture, and nation will be destroyed unless Christian radicals stand up lovingly for truth without compromise. If we do not stand up and engage in loving and courageous confrontation, our divinity schools, denominations, and churches will be lost to the cause of Christ forever, just as has happened to many in history and is continuing to happen today. Chapter 8, The Mark of the Christian. Jesus commanded his followers to love one another. This is the mark of being a Christian, and every believer is to wear this badge and show the world through their love that they belong to Christ. We are commanded to love our neighbors, that is, everyone, and especially to show this love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. There is only one humanity, even though it is divided into the two groups of the redeemed and unredeemed. If we are to show special love to fellow believers, this implies that we are able to identify those who know Christ from those who do not. The love that we are to practice is indexed to the love that Christ has shown to us, and Christ actually gives the world the right to judge whether we are His disciples on the basis of the love they see us display. Although none of us loves perfectly, the world is able to reject our claim of discipleship if they see hypocrisy and a failure to love. Jesus prayed in John 17 that all of His followers would be one, and this unity is a necessary apologetic and witness. If the world does not hear the truth and see our love, they will reject our faith. Unity is not the false unity of being forced into one community or denomination, but rather the fellowship that comes from holiness and love. One of the ways to make our love visible is to repent and apologize when we have wronged others, and to forgive when we have been wronged. Genuinely forgiving someone is even harder than sincerely apologizing. The more serious the difference is between ourselves and the culture, the more holiness we need, and the more important it is to show the world our love. True love can be costly. We must be willing to sacrifice. When we have differences with other Christians, the world will not understand the theological issues, but they will be able to see if we continue to love each other. In other words, they need to see that we do not disagree with fellow Christians the way people in the world disagree with others. Our differences must take place in a context of holiness, unity, and love. Born-again Christians who do not work together must separate with love rather than fighting and insulting and bitterness. Only when the church has unity, as shown by our love, will the world know that we belong to Christ. Copyright 2023. Books at a Glance. Books at a Glance book summaries are available by subscription only, and except for brief quotes, may not be reproduced in whole or in part without express written permission.